For our scripture reading this morning, turn to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms and Psalm 77. Psalm 77 in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 636. We'll read responsively the first 10 verses. Psalm 77, verses 1 through 10. We'll read the verses responsively. Let's stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of God's Word. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night, and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God, and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. And let's pray. Father, be graciously close as we once again are privileged to hear thy word preached. Give us a desire to hear, yea, even more than a desire, a commitment. And then we pray that you'd bless, certainly with power and thy blessing and thy special help today for our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we come now to the preaching of thy word. Thy word is truth. Thy word is a lamp unto our feet and light to our path. Thy word is like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces. Thy word is like the water that cleanses and the fire burns out the dross. We come now to examine just a little portion of thy word this morning. May all of our eyes be focused upon Christ and his book. May it be said, as was said of the people of the synagogue in Nazareth, the eyes of all those that were in the synagogue were fixed on Jesus. May our eyes be focused for these moments on the blessedness of Christ. Speak to our hearts. There's a building full of broken hearts. There's a building full of people that need God's help today. And may I be what my people need. Please help me to be in a very special way today for these mine own beloved people. Holy Spirit, move in this room today. Bring salvation to those that do not know the joy we know. Bring a closer walk with God to those who have once known that walk. Speak to our hearts in a sweet and blessed way. Amen. The thing that I would want you to do for me more than anything else in the world right now is listen to what I have to say. I feel this morning that I must testify. Every once in a while I'm preaching, I just feel like I need to stop preaching and testify to the goodness and grace and wonders of our God. This morning, if you will let me use a psalm as a springboard, and from that psalm, may I spend a few moments rejoicing in the goodness of God. As men count good years, it had not been a good year for Asaph, the author of our text, Psalm, this morning, that we read a while ago, Psalm 77. It had been, as men count goodness, not a good year. And as men count badness and toughness, it had been a bad and a tough year for Asaph, in verses, we'll not turn to them or look at them even, but in verses 1 through 10 of this psalm, which is not a strange psalm to us, we've preached from it before and taught from it before. In verses 1 through 10, Asaph looks at the events of his life from the midst of them. He is in the middle of his problems of the year. And the vision is blurry, as of looking through some binoculars that are not focused exactly right. And he says such statements as these: I complain. Complaining is never an attribute of a spiritual Christian. I'm sure my mother complained, but I never heard her complain. The day was never too hot. It was never too humid. And the last word my mother spoke to me, the last word she ever said to me, I said, "Mother, how do you feel?" And she was struggling to stay alive. And she said, "Better. Better. Better." That was the story of her life. Never complained. As far as I know, I never heard her complain. We never knew what an air conditioner was when I grew up. We would have put one in the window, but we didn't have a window. I never heard her complain. We grew up, the weather was never too hot, never too damp. Her hair never fell. Mine all did, but hers never did. I just never heard it. And as Asaph was in the midst of all his problems, he complained. He said, "I complain. My spirit is overwhelmed." He said, "I am so troubled." And that word trouble means agitated. "I'm so troubled and agitated, I cannot speak." He said, "Will the Lord cast me off forever? Has God forgotten about me? Doesn't he know where I am? Doesn't he even care?" He's griping here. He said, "Will he be favorable no more? Does his promise fail forevermore?" Did you hear what Asaph said? He said, "The word of God's not so." He said, "Does his promise fail forevermore?" He said, "This has been a tough year for me." Tough years. And he said, and as he sat in the middle of his problems and looked through a hazy, foggy blur, he said, "Will his promises fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious?" Did you hear that? He said, "Has God forgotten to be good? Has God forgotten to be kind? Has God forgotten to be courteous? Has God forgotten to be gracious?" He's sitting in the midst of his problems, looking at them through a hazy, foggy, blurry pair of binoculars. He says, "Hath he shut up his tender mercies? Is his mercy gone forever?" Asaph is making a mistake here. You see, his glasses are out of focus. He's looking at his burdens in the midst of his burdens. He is having a pity party. Listen, in the first 10 verses, he does this. I want you to know something else. In these first 10 verses, Asaph refers to himself 22 times and to God 11 times. He says, "I" 10 times, "my" 9 times, "mine" twice, and "me" once. He says, "God" 4 times, "Jehovah" twice, "he" for God twice, "his" twice, and "thou" once. 22 times he thought of himself, and 11 times he mentioned God. He said, "Things are bad, trouble after trouble." He said, "Is God forgotten to be good? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Is his word not true? Or his promises gone? Doesn't he keep them anymore?" He's looking through hazy glasses. And then, ladies and gentlemen, in verse number 10, all of a sudden,
He twists those bifocals and binoculars and gets them in focus. And he says, and I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Now listen to me. What's he saying? He's saying in these first 10 verses, he's saying, God doesn't know how to be kind anymore. God's not even friendly anymore. God's not even gracious. I can't trust his word anymore. And then all of a sudden, he comes out of his problems and looks back at his problems, and he says, here is what I remember. He said, I remember not the bad, but the years of the right hand of the Most High. By the way, in the last verses, second half of the psalm, there are only three references to himself. And there are 24 references to God. God is mentioned, Jehovah once, thy, 11 times, the word God 5 times, the word thou 4 times, the word thee twice, the word thine once. Now, look at me. Here's what we do. We get right in the middle of our problems with the binoculars not focused properly. And we look at our problems and our burdens, and before you know it, you're blaming God. God isn't good. Brother, God's always good. I mean, his promises, are they going to fail forever? No, sir. They never have failed in the first place, and they can't fail forever. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And God's promises never fail. And yet, the psalmist Asaph said, I just don't believe God's nice anymore. And his promises aren't right. And he complained. And then, bless God, he had the discernment enough to get back from them and adjust the binoculars where he could see it more clearly. And he said, those were years of the right hand of the Most High. Now, what does it mean, the right hand of the Most High? In Psalm 26, the right hand of God is called the hand of strength. In Song of Solomon 2:6, the right hand of God is called the hand, of place of tender caress and love. In Psalm 16:11, the right hand of God is called the fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. In Psalm 118, verse 16, the right hand of God is called action. In Psalm 17, verse 7, the right hand of God is called a place of salvation. In Deuteronomy 33:2, the word of God, the right hand of God is called the place of the word of God. And what did the psalmist say? The psalmist, while he was looking at his problem with his binoculars out of focus, and in the midst of them, he said, God is not good. You can't trust his word. God is not gracious. God is not kind. And God has cast me aside. I'll complain. And I don't think God is fair. Then all of a sudden, he steps back, adjusts his binoculars, and looks from the hindsight back at the burdens and problems. And he said, well, those were really, really years of the right hand of the Most High. He was saying, I can see now that the hand of God's strength was upon me when I thought I was having it rough. He's saying now that God's tender, caressing love was around me when I thought I was having it rough. I didn't notice it. He was saying that God's pleasures forevermore and God's fullness of joy were mine, but didn't notice it because I was looking at it through foggy glasses. The action and work of God was upon me. I didn't notice it. The word of God was precious to me. I didn't notice it. You've heard me say this. If you've heard me say this once, you've heard me say it 1,000 times. I'm not going to live my life and find out tomorrow what a good time I had today. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Many of you this morning are in the midst of the first 10 verses. There are folks in this room this morning by the dozens. And my prayer to God before I came this morning, and my prayer to God way in the hours last night, my prayer to God before the sun came up this morning was this: oh God, I've got people that need my help today, and I pray you to help me to help my people. There are folks in this room this morning that have the burdens as heavy as mine, and your heart is as heavy as mine is this morning. I'm just not here this morning to tell you, and to sit here and tell you that God will give you strength. I'm here to say God will give us strength. I'm here this morning to say that to those of you who are burdened today and have broken hearts, I'm not here to say just that God will heal your broken heart. I'm here sitting beside you with a broken heart too. And I'm saying that God will heal our broken hearts. If we'll get everything in focus, I feel I must testify this morning. I will not soon forget the year 1984. It will always be remembered by me. If things got just a little out of focus this morning, I could very easily, and I would not dare do it, but I could very easily say that in many areas, 1984 was one of the toughest years of my life. And yet the honest truth is, as I look back and as I focus the year, it's been a year of the right hand of the Most High. And I want to stand this morning and tell you that I love Him and I praise Him. And I rejoice in His goodness and I rejoice in the year of the Most High. Do not shrink because of burdens. Do not complain because of heartache. Do not bristle because of trials. Your mama's like mine. Whichever one of us had the fevered brow was the one whose mama was the brow on felt the hand of mama. Whichever one of us was the sickest is the one that felt her hand on our wrist. That's the way she took our temperature. She'd hold our wrist, and with the pulse rate, she'd take our temperature. If Earlene was the one who was a little under, maybe she came home after a hangover, got a hangover the next morning. But if she was the one a little under, Mama was sitting beside Earlene. And by the way, I used to get a little upset about that. Mama wasn't giving me enough attention. Earlene's getting all the attention. But God is that way. When one of God's children is going through the fire, He's always at the right hand. And as Asaph said, I don't know why I complained. I don't know why I did. He said, I looked at it. I said, God's forgotten me. I got problems and burdens, and God's forgotten me, and God's not good, and God's not nice, and God's not gracious, and God's not kind, and I don't like God, and you can't depend on His book. And Asaph said, hold it a minute. I think the binoculars are out of focus. He gets them back in focus, and he looks, and he says, oh, my soul, that wasn't a bad year. That was the year of the right hand of God. May I say this in testifying today, and would you please give me your attention? I've never felt the hand of God upon my life as I have this year. More people have said to me, Brother Hiles, you're preaching better now than you ever have than any year of my life. I've never enjoyed preaching like I've enjoyed it this year. You say, preacher, haven't you had a lot of problems? Is your heart heavy this morning? Well, of course it is. But I've never felt the hand of God in my life like I have this year. You see, His caresses, the right hand of God is called the place of tender caressing and love. His strength has been the same way. 45 minutes before I was supposed to preach or be picked up to preach Thursday night in Charleston, South Carolina. 45 minutes before they were supposed to pick me up. My sister called and said, Mama went to heaven. In 45 minutes, my driver was coming by to get me. And I said, I wonder if I can make sense. I wonder. Driver came by, and the first question he asked me is, how's your mama doing these days? And I said, she's not doing very well today. Biggest lie I ever told. She's doing better than she ever had done. I mean, boy, she's playing tag with the angels. She's getting to see Loreen and Hazel she hadn't seen in years, decades. Her two worst children. I mean, and I told that fella, by the way, I preached that night. I was on the platform, and I said, Dear God, I can't get my mind on my sermon, and yet I've got hundreds, as a Christian school teachers convention, and I've got hundreds of Christian school teachers, and they don't have much salary, and they're having it tough, and they don't get to go out often to live in a hotel, or stay in a hotel for a while, and they're here. This is their convention, and I'm the main speaker, and they're discouraged, they're defeated. They got boys and girls back home, and they need somebody to strengthen them. And I said, God, you've got to give me help. And I got to preach. I did not know from the minute that I started preaching to the minute I finished. I did not even think of Mama being gone. Don't you see what I'm saying? As I look back on last Thursday, I will not think that that's the day of heartache and sorrow. I'll look back and say that was the day of the right hand of the Most High. The hand of strength. God said, I got a child who needs some strength. He said, here's my right hand. And boy, my big old daddy used to hold up his right hand. He had a bicep nearly as big as mine. Don't let that scare you. It is not here to attack you. That's here to defend you. Find comfort in that, not fear. My daddy used to hold his hand up and say, son, you see that? He used to blow his thumb. Remember how he'd blow his thumb? I think it'd pop up there just like mine does all the time. And pop up there. And my daddy said, son, don't you be afraid. Anybody comes, this will take care of it. And my heavenly papa comes and he says, now, son, he said, I want to flex my muscles a little bit. He said, look at that bicep. I said, wow. He said, that's for your protection, son. And the Lord Jesus said at 6 o'clock when I preached about, well, actually, I was picked up about 5:30, I guess, or so. Anyway, at 6 o'clock when I stood to preach that convention, the Lord Jesus said, about 1,000 angels said, go down there and help that fellow. He needs some help today. I want to stand here to say to you this morning, you folks are burdened and you folks who think you're having it rough, and all of us think that sometimes, but I want to say, step back and focus the binoculars. These are not the days of sorrow and heartache. These are the days of the right hand of the Most High. God said to Asaph, I can't show my strength unless you're in trouble. God said to Asaph, my caressing won't mean much to you unless you're lonely and have a heartbreak. He said to Asaph, my tender mercy is there. They're at my right hand. You need me now. And Asaph says, I thought I was having it rough, but said, looking back on it, he said, those were the days of the right hand of the Most High. I've never in my life enjoyed preaching like I've enjoyed it this year. And I want to praise His name this morning, and I mean this. I want to praise His name this morning for His right hand. I've never in my life enjoyed this book. Somebody said, Brother House, was it hard to preach just a few minutes after your mama went to heaven? Well, of course not. I told somebody, I apologized to the fellow I lied to. When I left to go to the airport, I told him, I said, Mama, I apologize to you. Mama passed away. I preached Thursday night, and again, early, 8:15, Friday morning. And nobody knew I'd lost my mother until service was over Friday morning. They couldn't tell. You know why? The right hand of the Most High. And going to the airport, the driver, I said, I won't apologize to you. I told you yesterday, Mama wasn't doing very well. I said, I apologize. She's doing better than she's ever done. She's in heaven. And he said, was it hard to preach? And I said, no. I said, what you understand, my mama was blind. And mama got to see me preach a while ago for the first time in 10 to 15 years. She got to see me preach the first time in 10 to 15 years. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not talking to you this morning about something I read in the book. I'm not talking to you this morning about something that I heard somebody say. And I'm not a preacher here this morning standing here to tell you that God is good because I heard He was good. I'm here to stand to testify this morning to say our God is a marvelous, wonderful God. And our Savior is a wonderful, blessed Savior. And I'm here to say that if you've never known problems, you've never known the right hand of the Most High. If you've never had a night when you couldn't sleep and you couldn't rest, and the sleep wouldn't come and the tears covered your pillow, you've never known the head. And hey, congratulations to those of you that have a lot of burdens. You get to know the right hand of the Most High. You get to feel His caresses. The fullness of joy, the pleasures forevermore. His salvation, His word, His blessed word. I've never loved this book like I love it this morning. And by the way, during 1984, I believe God has given me more insight to His book than any year of my ministry. I've never seen things in the Word of God I see now. And may I say this too, I've never felt such joy, unspeakable joy, as I feel at this moment. There's a land that is fairer than day.
and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. It's never been so sweet as it is now. This book has never been as real. God has never been as wonderful. Yesterday morning we had a funeral service. One of our dear, sweet, precious ladies went to heaven. Just as precious to our Savior as my mother. And when I heard Mother died, when I heard Oliver died that could die, my first thought was to let Brother Colston have the funeral yesterday morning, because I felt sorry for the Sensible family. We don't have a finer man in this church than Bert Sensible. Wasn't a finer, sweeter, more gracious Christian lady in this church than Gladys Sensible. And I was afraid that Bert and his family would think Brother Hiles would not be comforting them. And I was tempted and prone to let Brother Colston have the funeral. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, and this is my second thought. I said, for the first time in my life, I can preach a funeral right. For the first time in my life, I can do it like it ought to be done. And I said, dear God, I pray you to help Bert to know his preacher loves him today. And I pray you to help Bert to know I hurt with him, and may he feel comfort as his preacher stands to bring the funeral message. You see, it all depends on how you look at it. Asaph said it's been a rough year. I've had a lot of tears, a lot of burdens, a lot of heartaches. And he said, God, did you ever feel that way? God, you still up there? I mean, when's your word going to get true again? When are you going to start being nice again? Right there in the midst of it, while action was going on, all of a sudden he realizes he's out of focus. He steps back, adjusts the binoculars, and looks through them clearly. And he says, well, God was good. These were the years of the right hand of the Most High. I'm going to tell you something. And I really didn't intend to talk about Mama this morning, but I guess it's hard not to. I want to tell you something very sweet to me. My sister, 23 years older than I am, give or take a few decades. And my sister got married when she was 7. I'll never forget the night she got married. My mother cried all night long. And early Mama would do that. You never heard a fit till you heard one of Mama's 10-hour fits. I mean, if one of us disappointed her, all night she cried, oh, my boy, my boy. Oh, where have I failed, my boy? Oh, my daughter, my daughter, my daughter. She cried a lot more nights over her than did over me. And, but the events of life. See, Daddy was still home when Earlene left. And the night Earlene got married, Mama cried all night. I don't mean just boo-hooed. I mean wailed and flailed and gnashing of teeth. I stayed awake all night, too, making noises. Clapping, shouting, praising God. But because of it, see, Daddy was still home. Daddy left after Earlene left. And so Earlene never knew Mama on a one-on-one basis like I did. And to be quite frank with you, Mama had a hard time sometimes not being partial to me. And I'm sure those of you that know Earlene and me can understand that. But Mama had an awful hard time not being partial to me. In fact, she failed in her attempt not to be partial. It was obvious. Earlene knew it. I knew it. Everybody knew Mama knew it. Because Mama had a preacher boy she was trying to rear, and Earlene could never be a preacher boy. And Mama was partial. And Earlene never knew the Mama I knew. She never did. Until the last few months and years. And I'll say this in the funeral sermon tomorrow. Mama had a son who was highly overrated and a daughter who was highly underrated.
And the real hero of all this story is in the choir right now. She's the hero of this story. You see, Mom and I had an agreement back yonder years ago that whatever happened, I was going to preach. You know, Mama knew it, and she asked me to do it, and I granted her request. Between the time she died and the time we bury her, I will have preached 9 times. That's our agreement. We had it all settled a long time ago. She asked me to do that, and I told her I would. But you know what happened? Earlene lived with Mama. And when Mama got sick, Earlene had to take care of her. Nobody knows the nights she's been awake all night long. Nobody knows how little sleep she's gotten. Nobody knows what she's been through. But wait a minute. All those days and years even when Mama would walk steps about that long, walk down this aisle and sit on the fourth row from the front, Earlene would wait for her, patient, always waiting, slowing down, waiting for Mama. It wasn't unnoticed by me and by many of you. And then when Mama got bad sick, Earlene had to take care of her. And she's had almost no private life at all for these months. Now, wait a minute. Through it all, Earlene said this to me. She said, "Jack." I said, "Don't call me Jack. It's Dr. Hyde." She said, "Jack," she said, "you know what I got to know in the last few months?" And I said, "What?" She said, "I got to know the Mama that you talked about and preached about." And I'll guarantee you this. I'll guarantee you, when it's all over and Mama's body's laid away, Mama didn't know this. She knows it now. But I got my daddy's body. See, Mom and Daddy, they left us. But I spent hundreds of dollars and got my daddy's body from the grave in Italy, Texas, and brought it, put it over here in the mausoleum. Mama didn't know it. But I've been paying for 3 years to pay off two of those crypts over there. Mama's body's going to rest beside Daddy's. When that little body's put in that crypt, and my sister looks back at 1984, she won't say, "Where are your promises?" She'll say, "I know the promises." She won't say, "When are you going to be gracious again?" She'll say, 1984 was the year of the right hand of the Most High. In closing this morning, all I want to say is thank God for God. Mama's favorite scripture. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." When she was just in a coma, not talking to anybody, Earlene was reading that passage to her. Mama hadn't said hello to anybody. Hadn't said a word to anybody. My sister would sing to her. She's reading the passage. If my sister sang to me, I wouldn't say hello to anybody either. But she's reading that psalm. My sister said, reading it, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," Mama's favorite. "All that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His." And my mama opened her mouth and spoke for the first time in a long time. She said, "Benefits. Benefits." What I'm trying to say this morning is, if you're in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the burden, in the midst of the trouble, in the midst of the trial, if you're right in the middle of it, don't Don't say with Asaph, where are you? When's your word going to be true again? When are you going to be nice to me? You say with him as he focused the binoculars and looked back and said, these were the years of the right hand of the Most High. For 25 years I've stood behind the same pulpit and preached. It was over here for a while. I preached there. It's in the building over there. Same pulpit I preached from 25 years. And I want to say this today. I've said it with the hearing of the ear. I've said it with the reading of the book. But I want to say it today as testimony. We have a mighty great God. A mighty great God. And in your burden and in your sorrow, His right hand comes to give you strength, caressing, victory, blessing, joy unspeakable, and full of glory. I guess all of the last 35 minutes, I've just been trying to say one thing. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Our Heavenly Father, bless every heart today that's in the valley.